I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Well, he's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than any honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead me than to be the king of all the vast domains, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have my Jesus than anything this old world affords today.
That's a blessing. I enjoyed that. Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Scott. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. Find that chapter book in your Bible in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to read one verse of Scripture for sake of time. But let me encourage you to keep your Bible open, because we're going to turn to a couple of other passages that are nearby in the book here this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to just read the last verse in chapter 3. So if you're able to stand and honor God's Word, join me now. And I'll read verse 21, pray, and get into the message today. Thank you again for being here on this, what a beautiful Sunday morning today. Unto him, that's God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I want to speak on the church's responsibility. A church's responsibility. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in church this morning, to assemble here with this group of people, born again, baptized believers, joined together for the purpose of obeying you, taking the gospel to the world, shaping our lives by the example of Christ. Father, I pray that you'll do a good work in our hearts this morning through the power of your Spirit. I submit myself to your Spirit. Thank you for your word. I pray that you'll, Lord, just you'll illuminate our thinking, our minds for these moments, so that we can learn something today that will help us and challenge us. In Jesus' name is my prayer made. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. 52 years is obviously not as long as some churches have been in existence, but it is longer than some. I have not seen updated statistics. I wouldn't know where to look to find them. But I do know many missionaries and evangelists who come through. They travel frequently around the country. They say that many independent Baptist churches are closing their doors. I am grateful to God for His provision and power to keep this local church going. I'm thankful. Now, we are not an unblemished church. I'll make that statement again. We are not an unblemished church. We will be someday, but not now. Not until we get to heaven, go through the judgment seat of Christ with all the others. We're a blemished church right now. But I say this, I believe Illinois needs more Bible-based churches like this one. And not that we're that perfect, but we have a reason to rejoice over what God has done through the ministry of His church here. There's still much that needs to be done to make sure that we continue, hopefully, to bring glory and honor to God through our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, in the years ahead. And that's what this passage is about. Paul wrote to the Ephesians about their church in Ephesus, bringing glory to God the Father through Jesus Christ. I want to say, God desired glory from this called out, born again, baptized assembly of believers in Ephesus. Not only did He desire it, but God deserved glory from this group. And by the way, this is not a universal, invisible, mystical group of people. This was a church in the Bible definition of the word. It was a church like ours in its definition. It's visible. It's local. And I will say to Faith Baptist Church that God deserves and desires glory from our church too. I'm talking about honor and praise and adoration and worship. All of those things describe glory to God. And He is worthy of all those and even more. I had this question come to my mind this week. What are the goals of a church? Big in number? Nationally known? Rich? Here's the answer to those three. No, no, and no. You know, if a church succeeds in bringing God glory, that is enough. Size, fame, wealth matters nothing if God receives not the glory that He deserves. You know, folks, think about this. God is able to get glory from churches that meet in the bush in Africa. They meet under trees. They don't have a padded pew. They don't have a seat. They sit on the sand and the dirt. And God's able to get glory from churches like that. He's able to get glory from churches that meet in the woods and forests of Russia. He's able to get glory from churches that meet in the basements and windowless rooms in China. Because here's the reason, folks. A building, a bank account, and a website are not indications that a church is bringing glory to God. In this age of technical everything, we've come to, your church doesn't have a website? What do you do? Oh, they can still bring glory to God without a website. Okay? You know who brings people? You know who brings glory to God? People. Pews don't bring glory to God. These speakers don't bring glory to God. No, they don't. No. People. I'm talking about individuals can bring glory to God. But wait a minute. Paul wrote this to an assembly of people. And he told them that God should receive glory from the corporate whole of the assembly. The entire assembly. And people, God has the power to make that happen. I want you to look at the preceding verse. Look at verse number 20. Because, you know, we always look at verse number 20 and we interpret that to mean that God can do personal miracles for us. Guess what? He can. Okay, look at what it says. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Yes, God is able to do personal miracles in all of our lives. He has the exceeding abundant power to do that. But you know what? He also has enough power. In fact, He has the exceeding abundant power to give a church more than all it could ask or think. He has the power to help us corporately bring Him glory. And I want to say that is our responsibility. It's our responsibility. Now, I trust that we do not want to just exist as an assembly here on this corner. Because existing is not our goal. God help us if that's our entire goal. Just to exist as a corporation, Faith Baptist Church of Bourbonnais. No. Our goal should be that as long as there is an assembly meeting here, our corporate assembly would bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. And that's how a church brings glory to God. It's through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He said in verse number 21. Unto Him, that's God the Father, be glory. Where? In the church, in the assembly, in the local church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Now look, the Bible is not silent about how to accomplish this lofty goal. I'm going to give us three ways that we can bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. There are probably more than that. In fact, I'll hit on the fourth one tonight. And the service will be shorter tonight since we're meeting at 7. But I'll hit on the fourth one tonight. But I'm going to give you three this morning that make the list. Listen very carefully. A church brings glory to God, number one, when the Savior is exalted. When the Savior is exalted. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2, just a few pages to your right. And I want to show you a couple of verses here in Philippians chapter 2. I want you to notice down in verse number 9, okay? The Bible says in verse number 9 of Philippians chapter 2, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, now I love this, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, watch this, to the glory of God the Father. God receives glory when His Son is exalted. God receives glory when Jesus is lifted up, when Jesus is praised, when Jesus is magnified. Then God is glorified. God the Father has highly exalted Jesus. God the Father has lifted Jesus up. Excuse me. God the Father has magnified Jesus. So guess what? When a church exalts Jesus, when a church lifts up Jesus, when a church honors Jesus, you know what we're doing? We're only recognizing what God has already done. And it pleases God that a church would recognize that He has highly exalted His Son. You know, those of you that have been here over the years, it's kind of a running joke with you and me. Our family is very excited about the fact that my brother invented the orange juice called Simply Orange. I'm not going to go into detail about that. I've done that enough over the years. And, you know, in our minds, Tim has done something great, okay? It's too expensive for us to enjoy, but it is a great orange juice, all right? And when it goes on sale, amen. All right, that's good. But he has nothing to do with that. But in our minds, he's done a great thing in inventing this orange juice called Simply Orange. You know, but when the Florida Citrus Commission contacts him and says, we would like for you to sit on the Florida Citrus Commission and for a number of years and be one of the how many people that sit on that commission. And, you know, it verifies in our minds what we already think of him. Hey, we're glad you guys are catching up. You're just finally getting to know what we've known for a long time. He's a great guy. And he's done something wonderful here. Now, listen, God has already exalted Jesus Christ. God has already lifted up Jesus Christ. God has already magnified His Son, Jesus Christ. And when an assembly of human beings with sin natures who've been saved by the grace of God and brought together as a local body, when that assembly recognizes that God, that Jesus is lifted up and magnified, and we exalt Him, God gets glory from that. He gets glory from that. And a church should honor and exalt Jesus. A church should worship Jesus and preach Jesus and teach Jesus and love Jesus and honor Jesus. It's interesting. You can get to some churches today, the emphasis of all their teaching and preaching is on the Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit. The Spirit. Oh, the Spirit. The Spirit's moving. The Spirit's moving. I'm glad for the whole moving of the Holy Ghost. Don't get me wrong. But I want to tell you something, friend. The Bible says that when the Holy Ghost comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to lift up Jesus. He's going to speak of Jesus. That's what He does. Spirit doesn't come to speak of Himself. He comes to lift up Jesus. So when a church glorifies, when a church exalts Jesus, it brings glory to His Father, God. And the way we recognize His exalted position is by acknowledging that He is Lord. Do you see that in verse number 10? That at the name of Jesus, I'm sorry, verse number 11, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. You know what the name Lord means? It means master. It means ruler. That every tongue should, at the name of Jesus, every name, and this is not the message, but I just got to throw this in because this excites me to no end. And I think we're going to see this. I think we're going to see it. You know, tribulation period here on earth, the devil's wreaking havoc, right? He's enjoying it. Hates God. Hates everything that's part of God. Hates it all. Then we go into the millennium, and for 1,000 years, he's bound in the pit. But he's loosed. For a season. For a short time, he wreaks havoc again. And then, he's going to be banished to the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. But sometime before that happens, in the throne room of God, he is going to have to get on his knee and admit, confess that Jesus is Lord. I don't suppose that's anything he's ever done, but he's going to do that someday. And for one, I'm going to enjoy seeing that happen. That rascal, man, he is going to have to confess because God's going to see to it. God has already decided that at the name of Jesus, every knee. And by the way, if you're here without Christ this morning, it is much better for you to bow your knee while you're on earth, receive Jesus as Savior, than wait till you're made to in heaven someday. That's going to happen. I'm telling you, that's going to happen. You are Lord. You are master. You are ruler. Now, let me say this. Listen very carefully. There are many church members who know Jesus as Savior, but fewer who know Him as Lord. Lord is different than Savior. That's the same person. It's a different office. Same person. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't change that. But it's possible to know Him as Savior and not know Him as Lord. You know what knowing Him as Lord is? Lord means doing what He says. It means His name, Master Ruler. Jesus may have saved you from your sins, but is He your Lord? Is He your master? Is He your ruler? How does Jesus rule as master in our lives? He rules through the Word of God. This is the written Word. He's the living Word. In the beginning was the Word, uppercase W, and the Word, uppercase W, was with God, and the Word, uppercase W, was God. He's the living Word. This is the written Word. How do you make Jesus your Lord? More than your Savior? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You want me to get baptized? Yes, sir. You want me to join the church? Yes, sir. You want me to read the Scriptures? Yes, sir. You want me to pray? Yes, sir. You want me to witness? Yes, sir. What do you want? That's Lord. That's ruler. Is Jesus your Lord? Is He more than a Savior? Okay. God gets glory when a church exalts Jesus Christ as Lord, recognizes His lordship, His rulership in its life. And obviously, the more members of a particular church that live for Jesus as Lord of their lives, the more God the Father is glorified in and through that church. That's why, folks, I'm telling you, listen very carefully, I'm happy for a beautiful auditorium. I'm happy for nice pews. But if you think any of this brings Him glory, we fill this building full of people who are saved but not living under the lordship of Christ. The people meeting under the bush trees in Africa sitting on dirt who obey Him as Lord bring more glory to God than a church here in America sitting on a fancy pew that just does what they want. Amen, Brother Angel. That's good preaching on Anniversary Sunday. I know it's not really popular. But that's the truth, folks. You know what? Don't get me wrong, because we have a man in this church that labored long and hard as a part of the crew that worked here in this, and I love it. I showed it off to, who did I show it to? I showed it off to Jeff Jarvis. Jeff was here on Thursday. He drew up the plans for the bathrooms and all that, and we showed him around just a minute and showed him. Man, he said, "Man, this is beautiful." And it is beautiful. But I'm going to tell you something. If you know what this is, when it comes to the glory of God, it's Nehushtan. Yeah, what in the world's Nehushtan? Remember when the Israelites were traveling through the wilderness? I'm probably not going to get done with this. I'm not going to get done with this, but it's all right. Remember when the children of Israel were driving, wandering through the wilderness? That's the angel version, amen, I guess. And remember those snakes came in, started biting them, and Moses built that brass pole? Put that brass serpent on there, and they looked at that thing. You know, they carried that pole with them and began to worship that pole. They did that for years until one day God told one of the prophets, I can't remember who it was now, told one of the prophets, He said, "You destroy that thing. It's Nehushtan." The pole was never supposed to be worshipped. It was the God who healed the people who looked at the pole that deserved the worship. And you do not misconstrue my comments that I am not grateful. I am exceedingly grateful for the sacrifice that made all of this possible, that made that building over there possible, that made these grounds possible. But we don't glorify God by worshiping this. You glorify God by knowing Jesus is more than Savior, knowing Him as Lord. And the quicker we bring our lives in line to what Jesus wants us to do, the more we as a church, as an assembly, will bring glory to God the Father. That's the only way to do it, Paul said in Ephesians, through Christ Jesus. Can't do it myself. I can do it through Christ. Okay? So God is glorified when the Savior is exalted. Number two, let me say, not only is God glorified when the Savior is exalted, God is glorified when saints are edified. Saints are edified. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Just go back a couple of pages. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11, okay? Verse number 11. Paul's talking here again to the church at Ephesus, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And these are offices, okay? Some are past and gone. Others are present right now. But here's why God gives the church certain gifts. Okay, look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I was going to read on down through verse 16, but for sake of time, I'll stop right there. For the edifying of the body of Christ. What does edify mean? Edify means to build up. It means to build up. It glorifies God as the saints in a local church grow up in the image of Christ. That glorifies God. That brings Him glory when the church is built. Not the physical thing, the people. When the people are built up, becoming more like Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Now, look, we've already said that when we glorify Jesus, we glorify God the Father. Salvation is not just a fire escape from hell. God wants Christ to be formed in His children. He wants Christ to be formed in us. Turn back a few pages to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, just a few pages to your left. Those of you that are getting familiar with your Bible, you're right there. Just a few pages to your left. Chapter 4, verse number 19. I want you to see this. Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia. There are several of them. And he says in verse number 19, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." Now understand, Paul could call them my little children because Paul started most of these churches in Galatia. He was their spiritual father, okay? Now look at what he says. My little children, of whom I travail in birth. What's the next word? Again. So there was a previous travail, right? When did that take place? That took place when they got saved. Paul wanted those people to get saved. Paul wanted them to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul did not want them trusting in their own works. He did not want them trusting in their baptism. He didn't want them trusting in the good things they could do in life. Paul didn't want them trusting in their circumcision if they were Jews. He wanted them trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And he travailed. He prayed and he preached and he witnessed until many of them got saved. And Paul said, but wait a minute. Now I travail in birth again. What's this second travail about? Well, look at what it says. Until Christ be formed in you. That's the second part. It's not enough just to be saved. It's not enough to just have a fire escape from hell. Paul said, just like I travailed until you were born again, I'm travailing again, now that you're born again, to see you be conformed to the image of Christ. I want you to be like Jesus. Grow up to the image of Christ. So he travailed twice. It brings glory to God when the people of God start living like the Son of God. That's exactly right. Edification, growing up, results in sanctification. Sanctification is becoming less and less like the world and more like Christ. When I got saved, October 15th, 1975, unfortunately, I was very much like the world. If I am still today, 40-something years later, where I was then, I've not been edified. I've not grown up. But hopefully, in these 40-something years, I've been growing up a little bit. So I'm less and less like what I used to be, and more like Jesus Christ wants me to be. That's edification. That's sanctification. Becoming more and like Jesus Christ. Inward and outward. It's a transformation that makes us like Christ. The result of that brings glory to God the Father. So the more people in a local assembly who are not just saved, but conformed to the image of Christ, the more people you have, the more it brings glory to God. Because you can only bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. You can't do it through yourself. And so the more we grow, the more you grow, the more I grow. And by the way, well, I've been saved 45 years. You should still be growing. Still be growing. You know, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I told you we'd turn to a few pages. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn back there a few scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And look at verse number 18. This verse teaches us how this takes place, okay? It takes place very, very simply, but not all people get on board. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Paul says, but we all. All right, you found it, 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, what this verse teaches us, that sanctification, edification, growing up into the image of Christ happens through a combination of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Look at the verse again. Do you see where it says, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about this book right here.
Amen.
When I opened that book, I opened it up about 5:38 this morning. No, actually, it was a little earlier than that. Doesn't matter. I opened it up a little earlier this morning. And when I opened this book up, not this one, but one just like it at the house that I read from. When I opened this book up and put my face in it, I am beholding a mirror. It's like looking into a mirror. But instead of seeing myself, you know who I see in this book? Jesus Christ. And what I see when I read it, with the Spirit of God working in my heart, shows me that in this area of my life, I'm not like Christ. And in this area of my life, I need to be more like Christ. And in this area of my life, I need to be more like Christ. Let me ask you a question. You think Christ would skip a church service? How am I becoming like Christ? How am I becoming like Him? If the Spirit of God is working in my life through the Word of God, the Spirit of God and the Word of God, those two powerhouses work together to change us into the same image. This image doesn't change. This should change. I should change, get myself like this image. And the Bible says it happens from glory to glory, just bit by bit. Sometimes it's a large bit. Sometimes it's a small bit. The rate is not as important as the direction. Am I growing? Am I being edified? Am I being built up in the Word of God through the Spirit of God? If I am, that glorifies God. Glorifies God. You know, my son-in-law Pete down in Iowa, down in Mississippi, his dad, I probably have told you the testimony. His dad, Marcus, and his mother, Kathleen, they were lost Catholics. They had 11 kids, good Catholics, right? Had 11 kids. 7 boys, 4 girls. Lived in a 2-flat in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Electrician. Just a common laborer. All those children. And he was a beer-drinking, cussing, lost electrician. Hard-nosed Philly. I think you understand that. Hard-nosed. Until God saved him. But God didn't just save him. God changed him. He didn't just get justified. His life began to be sanctified. And he passed away 2 or 3 years ago at his funeral service. His oldest son, Chris, eulogized his dad. And Chris, I forget how old Chris was when his daddy got saved. But he said, you know what? When I was a boy, Dad would say, Chris, get me a beer. He said, after Dad got saved, he said, hey, Chris, bring me my Bible. There's a difference. The beer went out, the Bible came in. And that's not the only thing that changed. You say, well, that's fanaticism. No, it's Bible. It's biblicism. It's the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God. It changes people. That's what the choir sang this morning. God's Word changes lives. Absolutely. But as powerful as that book is, as powerful as the Spirit of God is, if you don't have a willing participant to jump in and say, okay, Lord, go to work, it's not going to happen. And when it doesn't happen, God doesn't get the glory He deserves. The glory He desires. So how's it going? God gets glory when the Savior is exalted. God gets glory when the saints are edified, when they're built up. A change like happened in Marcus Kavanaugh's heart and life. That begins by the believer trusting Christ as his Savior and then growing as a child of God, taking the first step of baptism, joining a church, spending time in the Word of God, praying, speaking to someone about Jesus, shaping their lives by Bible truth, learning what pleases God and what displeases God, growing up, being built up in the faith, becoming more like Jesus brings glory to God the Father. That's what he said. when the Savior is exalted, when the saints are edified. That's me and you. If you're here this morning and you're saved, we're supposed to be growing, edifying, being edified in the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. That brings glory to God through Jesus Christ. I'll give you this last one in 5 minutes. We're done. The church brings glory to God, number three, when sinners are evangelized. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Paul said, chapter 3. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. When Christ dwells in a person's heart, that person is saved. The Bible says, Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Christ only dwells in the hearts of those who receive him by faith. And I won't go into this forever. Receiving him by faith means that you trust the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as payment for your sin. That's what it means. And when a person does that, it brings God glory. Listen to me. I can take you to the scripture. I won't do it. God gets no glory from any person who dies and goes to hell. God does not sit on his throne. Yeah, I told you. That's not our God. That's not the God of this book. No. Nope. It glorifies God when people trust Jesus as Savior. It glorifies him. Now, look, people, the one of the reasons it glorifies him is because that's the only sacrifice for sin that God accepts. God sent his Son to this earth to be physically brutalized and to spiritually suffer. He sent his Son to become sin for us. The Holy God sent his Holy Son to be sin for us. And for people to look to anyone other than Jesus or anything other than his sacrifice is like slapping God's gift and grace in the face. That's horrible. No. God gets glory when any person, when one person repents of their sin and humbly trusts Jesus as their Savior. Jesus and Jesus alone. No one else. Nothing else. That brings God glory because the Son's sacrifice is the only one that God accepts and pleases him. And the truth of the matter is, as a church, I think the question that we have to ask ourselves is what does it say about a church not interested in people getting saved? In the end, it means the church is not interested in God receiving the glory he deserves. Right? Now, I don't know. You try to get here. Here's what a pastor does. This is the church. Okay. You go to the doctor. What are they going to do? First thing they do. Check your what? Pulse. Yeah. Okay. This is a pastor. I put my finger on the pulse of our church when I try to gauge our church's interest in seeing people saved. Try to do that. How interested are the people at Faith Baptist Church in seeing people saved? Because that glorifies God. You know, I think there's great interest in seeing people saved on what we call the mission field. Our giving to Faith Promise Missions is very healthy. Got a lot of missionaries we support. We got surplus money to help people out with projects, which we did recently. I'm very thankful for that. But Bourbonnais is a mission field too. So is Bradley. So is Kankakee. So is wherever you and I come from. Mission field. You know, here's what I thought in my mind. I thought when we decided we would distribute John and Romans, I thought, you know what? This is going to be a real boost to get people involved in going out into the community. I've been disappointed. It's basically the same people that have always gone out. So I'm thinking, Lord, we're not even talking about knocking on the door, talking to people. We're talking about putting a packet on a doorknob.
Right.
A Bible giveaway? This young man, he said, I walked to his window. He said, I drove by here. And I saw that sign. I turned around when I got down the road and came back, and something told me to stop. I said, no, sir, it wasn't something. It was someone. Isaiah had the privilege of winning two men to Christ in a Mercedes. Well, I know the only people who stopped for a Bible, they're driving junk cars and don't get... I said they were driving a Mercedes. He leaned through the window for a half an hour with his New Testament showing those men how to be saved. I don't know what else to do to encourage you to be interested in seeing people saved. I don't know what else to do. Nobody comes. I understand. I'm not going to fall apart if nobody comes for salvation every Sunday morning. I understand. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. But if we go, thank God for that young man that came last week. And if we go on and on and on, say nobody, yeah, that's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not. It's not okay. Because God gets glory when sinners are evangelized. And I'm wearying of young adults. Well, I have children. Like none of us had children 25 years ago. Oh, no, everybody that went soul winning 25 years ago, we didn't have any kids. None of us did. It's okay, Brother Angel. I know everybody's here to celebrate. You're ruining it right now. That's okay. It's all right. I didn't come here to tickle your ears and be fancy, make people feel good. I came here to talk truth to you. I'm going to tell you something. There was some sacrifice in a lot of areas 25 years ago that people made to even see this thing come into existence. I wish I could take you back to that original auditorium. Amen. Ouch. Because I hit the ceiling. There's a difference in maintaining a church and building a church. Big difference. It takes a certain level of commitment to see God build a church. It takes a different level to maintain it. And I'm just saying, folks, look, listen to me very carefully. I know I've gone over time, but I didn't start till 11:19, okay? These seniors in high school, they took up part of my time, all right? Tried to get them off the stage and get them out of here so I could preach. But listen to me very carefully. If you're content, and I'm content, just to come to a pretty building and be happy a couple hours a week, that's not what brings God glory. What brings God glory is when Christ is exalted. When a man's singing, I'd rather have Jesus, and somebody's shouting, glory to God. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. A church brings God glory when the saints are edified, built up into the image of Christ. And a church brings God glory as it sees people evangelized, saved. Because he gets no glory from somebody who goes to hell. That's our responsibility. Amen. To bring God glory. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, I pray that you'll use the message from your word. May your spirit prick our heart where it's necessary. I pray, God, that we give ourselves to the truth. Lord, the truth will set us free. You can say nothing for the truth but the truth itself. I thank you for the privilege having the opportunity to bring glory to you, God the Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Wonder who's here this morning would say, Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I know that for a Bible reason. If that's you, you're not ashamed of it. Can I see your hand this morning? If you're saved and you know it, God bless you. Amen. That's wonderful. Take your hand down. Now, would there be anybody here would say, Brother Angel, I get it. At some point in the message, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. about the Savior being exalted, about saints being edified, about sinners being evangelized. I want to be a part of something that is bringing God glory, personally and corporately. And God spoke to me this morning in a specific way. Can I see your hand wherever you're sitting? God bless you. I appreciate that. Amen. Amen. Now, let me ask the final question. Are you saved? Not have you been baptized, not are you a member of a church. Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you born again? Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If you're not sure that you're saved, I'd like to pray for you. Just slip your hand in the air. Nobody's looking. Myself and a couple of men here that are helping me. If you're not sure that you're saved, just slip it right up, take it right back down. Anybody like that here this morning? Not sure I'm saved. If you're saved and you've never been baptized scripturally in deep water and you want to be obedient to Christ, that opportunity is available to you this morning. Joining the church, whatever the need is, the altar is open for you. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of having this service. Thank you again for these many years here on this street corner and those in Kankakee that you've kept this church going. But Lord, more than anything, we don't want to just exist. We want to bring glory to you through Christ. Please empower us to do that. And we'll thank you. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Ladies, playing the invitation song. You obey the Lord this morning. You do exactly what God has asked you to do in your heart. God is glorified when the Savior is exalted. God is glorified when saints are edified. God is glorified when sinners are evangelized, when folks get saved by God's grace. All these scriptures we referred to this morning were written to local churches, one specific church or one group of churches. And it was all tied to the thought of bringing God glory, because that's what He deserves, that's what He desires. Unto Him be glory in the church through Christ Jesus. Would you obey Him this morning? Would you follow Him? Is He Lord? Is He more than Savior? Is He Lord of your life? That's the question. While we wait today, our heads are bowed before Him, obeying the Lord while we wait.